Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore, where our mission is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. All right, welcome back, podcast listeners. Andrew here. With me, of course, is Dr. Tim Elmore. How are you today, Tim?
I'm well. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Me too. Yeah, we spend a lot of time at Growing Leaders reading and learning and pushing ourselves on research that's going on around the world. And we really believe that we should be making decisions that are research informed.
That's right.
And that's really the focus of today's conversation.
Yeah, it is. Especially because we're facing territory we've never faced before.
Yeah.
So, Andrew, I think the best way to set this up is with a true story that took place over 30 years ago. I think you and I may have talked about this, but I love retelling the story of a Soviet cosmonaut by the name of Sergei Krikalev.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So by the early 1990s, the Soviet Union and the United States were beginning to collaborate on space travel and space stations.
They were playing nicer together.
Yes, a little bit. And Sergei Krikalev was going to be sent up into space by his mother country, the Soviet Union, for a record 4 months. Nobody had ever done that up to that point. The year was 1991. So they stocked that shuttle with, you know, gear and food, and he was mentally and physically conditioned for this trip. He was shot up into space. And I believe I'm safe to say today that while he was up in space, Sergei Krikalev experienced his worst nightmare. It was while he was up in space that his country went out of business. Now, you probably don't remember those. You were too young, those days.
A little too young.
But it was oh my gosh, it was a horrendous time. We watched CNN or whatever news program we had on. We're seeing troops run out in Moscow. Tanks were rolling in. I thought a war was going to break out.
Yeah.
Little did I know that Sergei's up in space. Hello. Hello, the men have all left the control station.
So, like, the country shuts down. They're like, I guess I don't have a job. And
they're grabbing a gun, maybe. It looked like war. Well, this poor guy's on the other end of a long tether saying, fellas, anybody listening back home? Well, he was up there for 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, 7 months. I'm not kidding. 8, 9 months.
With no communication.
No communication. Finally, after 10 solid months in space, to be exact, I think it was 380 days or something, the men finally returned to the control center, and they begin to bring this poor cosmonaut back home. But as Sergei climbs out of the space shuttle, you can imagine, they're having to debrief with him what has just gone on.
Yeah.
He has no idea.
So a few things have changed.
That's right. A few things have changed. You know, the Soviet Union was gone. Mother Russia was back in.
Yeah.
Mikhail Gorbachev was out. Boris Yeltsin was in. And this is interesting. Sergei Krikalev's salary, which was once in the 95th percentile of Soviet salaries, could now barely buy a Big Mac at the Moscow McDonald's.
Wow.
Holy moly. Had the world changed.
That's a big change.
Well, it is, and I know it's an exaggeration today, but I share that story, listeners, because in many ways, I have these moments, Sergei Krikalev moments, like I realize what's happening on TikTok or this, that, or the other, and I'm going, did I miss something?
Yeah.
Did you lose touch with me, or did I lose touch with you? And I know it seems like hyperbole to say, but teachers listening, don't you sometimes walk into class and go, this is not working like it used to work. I just heard a teacher say the other day, my tricks are not working anymore. And he didn't mean gimmicks. He just meant, you know, greet them friendly and be nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not even working anymore. So today, Andrew, we want to talk about four pieces of research, four data points that you might at first listeners go, well, yeah, I kind of knew that. But we're going to talk about what do we do with this research?
Yeah.
How do we respond well? And with the wisdom we need to lead these kids well.
Yeah. If you're not paying attention to the way the world is changing, you will blink and look around you one day and go, I don't even recognize where I am, right?
Yeah.
And so one of our missions at Growing Leaders has always been to be pracademic, right?
That's right.
Meaning that we're reading all this research and even doing some of this research, learning as much as we can and passing it on to people who are practitioners. So we're both research influenced, but also we want to be practical. And that's our desire today, is to kind of keep you up to date with what's going on so that you don't look around one day and go, am I in a different country, you know, like Sergey?
That's right. Well, and here's why I think this is most important to me. Over my career, which now spans over 40 years now, but 40 years ago, I would have never predicted some of the normal realities we're experiencing today. I'll be honest with you. 40 years ago, I would have never predicted that the Soviet Union and those Eastern Bloc Soviet communist countries would no longer be around.
They looked insurmountable in the way they were. At some point.
In fact, I was visiting Hungary and Romania in 1987, 1988, before the Iron Curtain fell. And I asked a German soldier, East German soldier, do you ever think that Berlin Wall will? Oh, no. We wish it will, but it'll never happen. And of course it did. I would have never dreamed that 40 years ago. I would have never guessed the Twin Towers in New York City would have been toppled by a couple of jetliners.
Yeah.
That's like a movie that you go, well, that would never happen.
Yeah.
And it did.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, it's going to age me right now. I would have never guessed marijuana would be legalized.
Yeah.
I lived for years in California and Colorado.
Just Say No and all of that.
Yeah. Yes. You walk down the streets, you're smelling pot everywhere you go in those cities. And I know I sound like an old guy, but I just would have never dreamed it'd be legalized.
Yeah.
You know, more and more might do it, but it's still illegal. And I've got to be honest with you, as we watch Donald Trump do those television shows, you know.
The Apprentice.
The Apprentice, yeah. You're fired, you know. We would have never thought this would be the next president of the United States.
Not a chance, yeah.
And that's not even a partisan comment. It's just things are happening today we would have never predicted.
Yeah.
And here we are trying to teach students who are probably ahead of us and in understanding intuitively what's about to happen next.
Yep.
And we're going, I'm trying to keep up, man. I'm trying to keep up. So today, I want to launch with two quick habitudes. We have new habitudes, listeners. And if you're not on our habitudes for social emotional learning, you don't know these yet.
Yeah.
Now, you could know these,
but that's
a whole nother issue.
I'm just saying.
That's right. So one of them is called tunnel vision. It's easy to get tunnel vision where we just understand our world and our lane, kind of like looking through a tunnel, and we miss what might be obvious to others because all we see is that little small lens we've got.
Yeah.
So we need to watch out for tunnel vision.
Yeah.
But then the other, that was bad news. The other one's kind of good news. We have another one, Andrew. You know this. You helped create this. Safety mirror.
Yeah.
Listeners, have you noticed you're in a big parking garage at Disney or wherever you are with a parking garage, but you start turning a corner in that parking garage and it's kind of cramped.
Yeah.
But thank God they have those convex mirrors.
Yes.
Those bubble type mirrors where you can look at them and see what's around the corner.
Yep.
This is exactly what we're going to try to do today. We're trying to provide a convex mirror where you can see what's coming around the corner and maybe be smarter as you drive your life.
I love that. Well, in the same way that safety mirror keeps you safe as you're coming around a corner, we think the safety mirror, in terms of the research and the information that you're going to get, is going to hopefully help you see around the corner and help you make better choices.
Yeah. So one of my most common concerns, especially for me since I've been in my career so long, is missing important information when I make decisions. I don't want to feel I'm in the dark about the research or the data. I want to make informed choices.
Yeah. We're trying to make informed choices at all times. And when we were thinking about preparing for this conversation and the new insights that are coming out from research today, it got me thinking about old insights from research, particularly the ones that we got in focus groups with students and how we need to make decisions based on the information we're getting. I thought of five different pieces of information that we actually learned from students themselves in a focus group that have changed the way we've talked to kids and about kids as well. So just if I don't
jump
mind
in, please.
Listing
I would love
a few of those. Number one, we found out that students don't really believe in the digital age that anyone really knows them, which was so fascinating.
Yeah.
We were so used to the millennials talking about I don't tell my parents everything, but my friends know everything.
Yeah.
For Gen Z, it was nobody knows everything, which is really interesting. Another one was finding out that our messages to kids about the dangers of the internet got through. A lot of the reason that Gen Z is so private on the digital in the digital world is because adults told them, don't trust what you see on the internet.
That's right. Yeah.
And they don't. They really don't.
Yeah. Your generation, the millennials.
We trusted everything.
That's right. It got in a little trouble there.
Yes, okay. We did. We found out from them that kids don't really think of Snapchat as social media, which was very interesting. That was the first time we started realizing that social media wasn't one category. It was actually many categories in the mind of a kid. We also found in conversations that kids, especially middle school, even as young as middle school, those kids really believe they can change the world.
Yeah.
And that shaped the way that we talked to adults about kids. When you're going to them and you're laughing at that, at the intensity of that statement they just made, they're not laughing.
Yeah.
They are dead serious about the influence that they can have on the world, whether that's through their YouTube channel or their protest or whatever it is. And we also, in our most recent focus groups, were shocked to learn how much kids are thinking on their own without any adult intervention that maybe they might need to have less screen time.
Yeah.
And that's influenced a lot of the thinking and writing that I have done, just realizing that this is not a subject that adults are just thinking about. Kids are thinking about it too. So all of these are just examples of the exact same kinds of things that we're going to talk about today for us to realize this is happening. What are we going to do about it?
Yeah, no doubt about it. So listeners, fasten your seatbelts. We're going to talk about four data points that we believe should inform our leadership. So here's number one. We've discovered from the research that more people are concerned with the effects of artificial intelligence than ever before. Now, you might say, well, isn't it relatively new? Relatively new, but it's been around a bit.
Yeah.
But now we're grossly, consciously concerned and, dare I say, scared.
Yeah.
I mean, parents are scared. You know, oh my gosh. When I think about the adults that I've talked to and probably you talked to, this issue's become obvious to most educators now and parents. Over half say the increased use of artificial intelligence in daily life makes them feel more concerned than excited.
Mm.
So we were excited, like, ooh, what can we do with this, you know?
Yeah.
But now it's deep fake, and you go, I can't even tell the difference now, you know?
Yeah. It was like a threshold got crossed from when Siri and Alexa were just telling us what time it is or who the actor was in that movie to ChatGPT and us going, hey, can you write me a computer virus that can get me inside of this? And it just does it.
Yeah.
It's like that threshold we crossed of what AI is actually doing for us just immediately shocked everyone, I think.
No doubt. So the data we're talking about, listeners, there was an August 2023 survey that said the concern or the fears are up 14% in just the last several months. So overall, 52% of Americans, or just above half, say they feel this way, which is an increase from 38% in December 2022. So over a year's time, or a year and a half, it's jumping. People seem to agree that just because we can do something with tech doesn't mean we should, okay?
That's an important distinction.
It is. And my favorite quote on this is Kevin Kelly, who is a brilliant man, an author, and here's what he said. He said, our smart technology advances so quickly, it outpaces our ability to civilize it. We must, folks, you know this, but we must build ethics and morals in our students if we hope to manage and master our technology.
Yeah.
In other words, can I just say this? I know many of you are in public schools and it's not a spiritual or religious or whatever. We've got to teach values where some things are right and wrong.
Yeah.
And some things are not good for us.
Yeah.
And not just say, well, that's my truth. You got your truth. On some things, we got to say, no, this is the truth.
Yeah.
And like you said before, some students are figuring out social media is not good for me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like how I feel when I'm on it.
It feels like the groundwork has been laid for this conversation, and much more can and should be said about artificial intelligence. But I know for each of these, you want to offer us a few suggestions of how we can lean into it. So give us some for this one.
Real quick, three thoughts. One would be, if you want to address this issue, form what's commonly called a tiger team. It's kind of like a strategic planning team, but this tiger team is instant Navy SEAL type people to develop ethical guardrails on future lesson plans on campus.
Mm.
So there is software that's ChatGPT and others that can do all these amazing things, but now there's software to let you spot when you know, artificial intelligence or smart technology. So this is good. Form a tiger team and figure out what you got to do. If you're a principal, this should be a no-brainer. You need that team. Number two, address the issue with faculty and students, perhaps with an outside AI expert. So I have a dear friend who has a child who is a teenager in a private school and a child in a public school. The private school immediately addressed the issue.
Mm.
In fact, it was in a convocation. They just took the whole hour and said, you got to know what's coming down the pipe. The public school child's just as smart, probably smarter, but said, yeah, we don't really talk about it in public schools. We did, or at least we didn't yet.
Yeah.
And this is not a cut down. I'm just saying, I don't care where you are. We've got to make this an issue.
Yeah.
Address it. And then number three, the third quick idea, this is down and dirty. Put policies in place regarding moral boundaries on all relevant classes. So if they're writing a paper, just know they may not write that paper. Something else may write the paper.
And if you don't want them to use that technology, you need to tell them ahead of
time. That's right. Yeah. We got to be upfront. All right. So that's one piece of data.
All right. Let's get into number two.
All right. Number two. This was interesting, but not shocking. More students, more kids fear gun violence, which is now affecting their mental health in deep ways.
Mm.
So it's been an issue for a while. We all remember Columbine High School back in 1999, April of 99. I remember I was away teaching in Virginia when the news reports came out. Well, that's 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Now more and more kids, not the parents. Parents, it's true. But the kids, we all know that today's students are struggling with mental health issues, particularly anxiety. And the number of U.S. children and teens killed by gunfire rose 50% in just 2 years.
Wow.
This is why it's gone up.
Yeah.
They don't even maybe need to hear that report on, you know, Fox News or CNN. They know it's gone up.
Yeah.
Every day, it seems like we hear reports. And so according to a 2023 analysis, the number jumped 50%. And by the way, this is analysis done by the CDC, the Centers for Disease and Control and Prevention. Now, Andrew, check this out. In 2019, there were 1,732 gun deaths among U.S. children and teens under 18. By 2021, just 2 years later, that figure had increased to 2,590. This is clearly a thing.
Yeah,
you're just nodding your head right now or shaking your head going, how could this be?
Yeah.
But it is. And it's not going away. And by the way, this is not me lobbying for gun control or whatever. We do need to pass good laws. It's us being smart on every level.
Yeah.
From parent to just, you know, if you see something, say something, you know, type thing.
Yep.
We've just got to be aware, because now it's not just mommies and daddies that are scared. It's the kids themselves. You got to think this is affecting their learning.
Yep.
If I'm preoccupied with, is somebody sitting next to me with a gun?
Yeah.
I'm not thinking about math.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So this is a major hurdle that is preventing students from learning. And it's just doesn't need to be this way. And I'm not diminishing the importance of academics. I'm just saying we've got to pay attention now to social and emotional issues like never before.
Yeah.
And we can't just look back on the good old days. I love looking back on the good old days.
Yeah.
But they weren't always good. And it was because I wasn't old that I liked them. And it was the night, not the day.
Yes, it was.
Just kidding. Okay. So I got a few suggestions.
Let's do it.
All right. Three simple thoughts. And the first one is what I said last time. What if you formed a tiger team on this issue? What if you formed a strategic, you know, agile team, a tiger team, to address items that could prevent students from feeling safe?
Yeah.
Maybe you invite students to be on that tiger team.
Oh, I love that.
And they're going, I tell you what would make me feel better. It's this. Oh, I had no idea.
Never thought of that.
So that's number one. Number two, identify a solid, effective social and emotional learning program for staff and students. Now, we all know the kids need SEL. I think the faculty does as well. They may not beg for it or ask for it, or we're always, well, we need to teach the kids, but we cannot be starving bakers who are baking bread for others, but we're not eating ourselves.
Yep.
So please, listeners, we'd love to work with you. We have an incredible SEL program, but wherever you find it, please find it and teach emotional intelligence, how to self-regulate, not just reading, writing, arithmetic.
I think teacher burnout is at an all-time high, retention all-time low, and it's hard for me to imagine that social and emotional needs are not a part of what's going on.
I agree. So the third bullet on this one, real quick, is create an environment that hinders uninvited visitors from entering the campus. I know many of you principals or APs would say, of course, but some of the stories we've heard, Evalde, Texas, and others, they were doors. It was a little too easy. So just double check and double click on the conversations you're having about this subject and say, are we doing everything we possibly can? We owe it to the kids.
Agreed.
All right. Here's number three. Boys continue to fall behind in school and life. Now, if you're well-read listeners, you know this one already, but this, I have a hard time not getting emotional. I'm going to do my best. But I am thrilled at the steps forward in the last 35 or 40 years and beyond, Title IX and other places, where we've helped women climb and break the glass ceiling and be better student athletes and have more sports to participate in.
Yes.
But now, I think the boys need a nudge, Andrew.
Yeah.
I'm thinking they need a nudge. So while more girls report suffering from depression, which we need to do something about, the increase among boys is even greater.
Interesting.
We didn't know this until this data came out. 161% increase since 2010.
Wow.
Can I say that again? So girls are suffering from mental health problems, depression. The increase among boys is even greater, 161% increase since 2010, so the last 14 years.
Wow.
And that was according to the a U.S. national survey on drug use and health. Now, their growth and mental health problems remains hidden from us since it's driven by sources beyond social media. So we can tell the girls are, look, we just watch. But this is something else that the boys are struggling with and from. So new research released by the American Institute for Business Management reports that suicide rates among boys are higher than among girls and is the deepest sign of trouble for guys, for males. Yeah. Girls continue to fare better in the classroom. You and I both have said, well, a typical classroom is set up more for females than males.
Yeah.
Sit still, be quiet, and take notes. I don't know a guy, or not many guys, that go, oh, fun. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. So, and college graduation rates. I mean, when I started my career, more males than females were going to college. Not good, but that was a fact. Now it's way more females than males. And I'm saying, should we pay some attention to this?
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. So service jobs have increased where females show some advantage. Further, a higher rate of males have withdrawn from the real world. You say, how so? Engaged in the virtual world of video games or you know, virtual reality, which doesn't help job readiness. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's all evil, but it's interesting that guys say, hey, I'll just do, you know, Grand Theft Auto or whatever it is, or virtual reality. I know a guy that just spends hours every day in virtual reality.
Yeah.
It's fun, but it's not really getting him ready for real life.
Yeah, and it's often not an active choice, but a passive one, as are many of the things that we see on this list, right? But yeah, I think we have to acknowledge that the issues that boys are experiencing as opposed to girls in the digital world are much less obvious, maybe, but much more impactful,
yes,
I would say,
I
it
think
seems
so.
Like.
All right, quick ideas on this one, and hopefully I'll get your brain going and you'll think of better ideas than I have. Number one, why not start by hosting a strategic planning meeting to identify learning contexts that appeal to your boys, to your males? I think we can do better. I know we don't have lots of money or time, but I'm telling you, I know schools that would say what we lack in cash, we make up for in culture.
Yeah.
And so create context that males say, I love this place.
Yeah, it's great.
Number two, I would like to see you create more opportunities for boys to engage in attractive school and outside activities.
Yeah.
So again, just look, are we attracting the females and not the males? And maybe it's not you, maybe it's them.
Yeah.
But just ask yourself, is it us?
Yeah.
Okay.
What kind of environments are we creating?
Yes, that's right. And then number three, why not equip older male students to lead projects that enable them to mentor younger ones? I'm telling you, you get a win-win here. One, you get a middle school kid in the eighth grade getting mentored by perhaps a sophomore, and both win. the sophomore needs to pour into somebody else.
Yeah.
And that eighth grader loves the 10th grader.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you, anything you can do along these lines is a good thing.
That cool factor is something
That's
we need to leverage,
That's right? Yeah.
Well, awesome. Okay, so we've heard three. We're going to get to the fourth one. Before we get there, Tim, let's take a quick break. Hey guys, Andrew here. I'd like to talk to you about one of our latest resources, Generation Z Unfiltered, facing 9 hidden challenges of the most anxious population. Those born since the turn of the 21st century have grown up in challenging times, full of polarization, panic attacks, pandemics, and protests. These shifts have shaped a generation of young people that we call Generation Z, and they are now the most overwhelmed and the most empowered generation in human history. In our book on Generation Z, Tim and I give an unfiltered view of just who these kids are and give teachers, parents, coaches, and leaders practical advice on how to tackle 9 of the greatest challenges today's students are facing. Pick up a copy of Generation Z Unfiltered today at growingleaders.com/store. All right, we are back. Tim, you've taken us through 3 data points. Give us the fourth one, and then we'll talk about what we can do.
Yeah, last one. Kids just flat out need guidance from adults regarding technology and social media. And you brought up earlier something that was really good news, that they're actually figuring this out. But I'm going, it's kind of sad they had to figure it out on their own that we didn't get to us first.
Yeah.
And maybe you say, well, we did in our house or we did in our school. Good for you.
Yeah.
But for the most part,
universally, not so much.
We were 5 years late, you know, really respond, because we didn't want to seem like the bad mom, not the cool mom or whatever. Yep. So YouTube, TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram remain the most popular social media platforms among American teens. It's just a fact. A majority say they've used these apps and sites, including nearly 1 in 5 who say they use YouTube or TikTok almost constantly. That was their words, almost constantly.
Wow.
I believe we were just all ambushed as social media surfaced about 15 years ago. And today's middle school students, for instance, are not emotionally ready to fend off addiction to technology. Adults have a hard enough time eluding addictions to smart technology. Yeah. What about the kids?
Yeah.
So smartphones or cell phones change the way we communicate and spend discretionary time. Now with just smartphones, more or less, we're even more in danger. Smartphones were game changers when we shifted from just mere cell phones. And again, I just believe we got ambushed. So without considering the downside of tech's negative consequences, parents let portable devices become that one-eyed babysitter. You know, good, get a tablet, you know, 3-year-old or whatever. And I think that frees them up to do their own thing, and that's not always a good thing. So parents and teachers, I believe, must provide guidance and accountability to teens and especially then to younger children.
Love it, love it.
So here's some quick ideas, and we'll wrap this up. Number one. Maybe you're doing this already, but discuss with your students the 2-hour rule. I'm going to say it again. Discuss with your students the 2-hour rule. Staying under 2 hours on social media enables them to be far less vulnerable to the negative effects of social media, like anxiety and depression. Once you go above 2 hours, you're much more vulnerable. 2-hour rule. Number two, introduce a phone contract in your home or classroom. We've talked about this much, but if you haven't heard of it, you can look them up. They're on the internet. They're on our website. We blogged about this in the past. This is a friendly agreement that you put together that outlines guidelines for smartphone use. Failure then to keep those guidelines means losing their phone.
Hmm.
All right, idea number three, implement the matching equation. And this is what we did in our home, Andrew. For every hour on a screen, they must have an hour face-to-face with peers or adults cultivating emotional intelligence and interpersonal skills.
I love it. I love it. All of these are techniques that we've been talking about for a while, and many leaders are using all around the country to help sort of reorient or rebalance the equation on technology and students. So I love it. Tim, you've taken us through a lot of data points. I want us now to talk about the perspective we have to have. I want you to close with a story of a leader who recognized the need for creating shifts and changes in their own strategy to match the shifts and changes that were happening in the world around them. Mm-hmm. This is the same perspective that we have to have as we engage with all these new realities that this data is showing us.
Yeah. Well, this great story actually comes from world history. We all heard about this guy in world history class. But Alexander the Great, while he was fierce and there were some negatives about his life, he taught us an amazing lesson. So Alexander the Great was known for being a sharp leader who assembled three armies and began to march across the known world, conquering every bit of territory along the way. I've been to Alexandria, Egypt. It's a beautiful city that he put a big library in as he marched across Egypt.
Love it.
But he didn't stop with marching across the known world. He got most famous for marching into unknown territory, for which we had no maps for. Now, listeners, think about that. He keeps marching, and we're off the map, sir. We're off the map. We have no map. He was known to frustrate some of his soldiers. He turned them into map makers. They were literally mapping as they marched into new territory. I'm suggesting, listeners, that's exactly the territory we're in today.
Sounds pretty familiar.
Yeah, yeah. We're like Sergei Krikalev. Hello, what happened? You know, only we need to be Alexander the Great.
Yeah.
We need to be drawing new maps for those who come behind us, and we need to look for the new stuff that we need to respond to, but we need to keep the old stuff that we dare not leave behind, like water and food.
Yeah.
So there's timely and timeless. This is the way we must lead. So think about it, teachers that are listening right now. You wouldn't talk to a teacher that retired 5 years ago about how to manage TikTok. They don't know.
Yeah.
You know? Or ask a teacher, you know, how they... I could not ask my own parents, Andrew, how to raise a child with a portable device. They would go, I have no idea.
Yeah.
We had to figure it out.
That's your world. That's not my
world.
That's
right.
Yeah.
So my wife and I marched in a new territory. We're still marching. Listeners, I encourage you to march off the map even now.
Love it, Tim. Thank you. Well, you already heard about it, folks, but if you are interested in data and understanding students to a higher degree, we want to recommend a book that actually Tim and I worked on together called Generation Z Unfiltered. In this book, we unlock and unpack 9 hidden realities that are creating anxiousness and all kinds of challenges within the emerging generation. So if you're interested in picking up that book, Generation Z Unfiltered, where you can find out more about the data behind this emerging generation, head on over to growingleaders.com, click on the store, and you will find it there, Generation Z Unfiltered. Well, as always, if you would rate this podcast, give us 5 stars on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, we would greatly appreciate that. If you found this particularly helpful and thought of somebody to share it with, we would encourage you to do that. We greatly appreciate that as well. If you want to connect with us online, we are at Growing Leaders and at Tim Elmore pretty much everywhere you are. And then finally, if you have ideas for this podcast, whether it's a subject you think we should cover or a person you think we should interview, shoot us an email. It's podcast@growingleaders.com. We love getting those. Well, Tim, thank you once again for keeping us on the cutting edge of the latest research. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time.